I'd like to call this meeting into order. This is the Osage Nation Membership Committee meeting. Today is March 16th, 2017. This meeting is scheduled from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. It is now a little after 10. First thing on our agenda is roll call.
Congressman Mason? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Chair, Congressman Maker?
Here. Next thing is prayer.
I'll give us a prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. And, we want to give you all the praise and glory for giving us all the blessings you've given us through the years, all of our people. We want you to continue to look after us and watch out for us and guide us and help us go into the future of our people. We're going to be making big decisions on our membership for our nation. So it's really important business, and so guide us to do what's right for all of our people. We want you to bless those who are sick, the elders, the children, and all of our service people serving wherever they may be. Just give us your blessing, Heavenly Father. We give you all praise and glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. Approval of minutes. Next.
I move to approve the minutes of January 19th, 2017 as presented.
Second. Minutes are approved. And if I go to the mission, we do have a quorum today, so add that to me. Okay,
We still have one more 7 minutes.
Oh, do we?
There's two sets.
Okay. We have another 7 minutes.
Move to approve the minutes for February 16th, 2017.
Second.
Yes.
Okay. We have the minutes out of the way. You are approved. And next thing is our membership update. We have here today with us Ms. Sarah Oakley, the director of our membership. Department. And also we have Mr. Clint Patterson, who is the assistant district attorney of the Osage Nation here with us. And we're going to turn it over to Ms. Oakley to give us an update of what's going on with the membership.
Okay, well, there's some proposed amendments to the bill. One is, and I told you all this before about providing temporary membership for babies born, and giving that list to Congress, and I have no way of capturing that because they're not applying for membership, so I don't know who they are until they do. And if they're born, in the bill or in the law, it says that they're temporary members for 240 days. And it also asks that I give a list of those babies to Congress no less than every 30 days. And I just don't, I haven't figured out a way to do that because I don't know when these babies are born in the United States to Osage parents. I would really like to have that amended because I feel like I'm not fulfilling the law because I can't do that. So that's the First Amendment that I would like to maybe have. I mean, I don't have a problem with them being temporary members for 240 days. I just have a problem with coming up with their names.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Okay. So we have first on the agenda membership update, and then we have presentation of possible amendments to the membership deck. Is there any other update that you want to give us other than talking about the amendments?
No, I think since time is kind of short.
Sure, we'll just okay. The membership update. Okay, because I'd like to come back to that after we talk about the membership update because I have some ideas about that. Okay. So I was going to pull up the log. Clint, do you know what the ONCA number is on that?
1616. Oh, I'm sorry, she
asked me. 16. You should know that too. I'm sorry, I assumed
that. I think
I've got it
memorized.
Good. 16. 16. Okay, well, that's easy enough. Okay, so what you're saying is the law, I was trying to pull it up too. The law currently says that you have to report that list of babies, but doesn't require the parents to tell you the babies are born.
Yeah.
Okay, my biggest question on that, and I see how it's a problem for you and you can't fulfill the mandate of the law, but my biggest question is why do we grant that temporary membership? Is there a practical reason to grant that temporary membership?
I was told that worst case scenario, someone has an infant of Osage parents or parents, and that infant dies. By putting this in that for 240 days, they have a grace period, they're temporary members. That way they can get burial assistance. Because you have to have a membership, you have to be a member to get burial assistance. They don't even have a birth certificate yet because,
right,
you know. So this way, that family will be able to get assistance to bury the baby. That's where I was told is why that's in here.
Okay, which I think is a good thing.
I think it's a wonderful thing.
All right, I was just, when I was thinking about that, because we got a couple of these amendments a couple of days ago, I was wondering, and I was thinking about being new parents too, and how it was when I was a new parent. I was thinking if there should be any effort on the part of the parents to pick up the telephone call and report to them, I have a baby, I'm going to enroll it for membership as soon as I get all the documents, and for you guys to keep record of that, or if that's just unnecessary totally. Because I figured that the reason we were doing that was tied to some type of a benefit, either the health benefit card. I don't know if they let those babies under temporary membership have a health benefit card or if they wait till they have a full membership card.
They have to wait till they have a membership number.
A membership number. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means
because when this first came out, when somebody read it, they called me and they said, "Well, I've got a baby. I want to get a health benefit card."
Right.
And I was like, "Okay, they have to be a member first. So you've got to send me their, you know, state issued birth certificate, and I can make them a member. You know, their social security card, you know,
right,
this and that, and I can shoot that to you."
Right.
But we can't give them a number without the documentation. You know, so. And I don't know about them who would pick up the phone just to say, "Okay." I mean, you know.
Right. I'm just looking at it because I knew it was probably, like I said, probably tied to a benefit. Have you ever had, do you have instances of infant mortality and needing burial assistance from Osage?
We have.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Right.
Goodness. But there is instances when it does happen, and, you know, burial assistance, I said, is they're under 240 days. Because after that, then it's on the parents to make the works.
So, Clint, the way that this is written, do you see any problem with making that amendment to not require a reporting of those temporary memberships to us? Is it still going to keep the law where it is just a 240-day period from birth to 240 days? It will, even if she does not have to report it, is that what she's asking to strike out of the law?
Yeah. Well, I agree with striking it, and I think it serves the purpose that we're needing it to serve and keeps the law intact and allows her to comply with the law. As a side ancillary matter, I would be concerned. I do not know how the reporting works for, say, burial assistance. I'm thinking past the law to maybe an audit standpoint where they have given somebody burial assistance that shows up on their reporting as giving it to a certain individual, and then that individual is compared with the membership roll, and that person never shows up on the membership roll.
As a temporary member.
Right. And I think that is why this is particular provision is in here, although she certainly cannot comply with it the way it's written.
See, and that's why I'm wondering, since it's tied to a benefit, and even though it is a sad benefit, it's tied to a benefit, if some effort of proof, or creating a paper trail or a document with our membership department shouldn't be on the parent to give a call and say, I've had this tragedy, I need to claim temporary membership so I can... And then you would issue either a memorandum or something of temporary membership if it was within that 240 days. Because I think the same thing. If we can't keep that data and we can't collect the data, because that's what I want to talk to you about on the membership update. So if we can't keep that data, we don't really know how that's working or not working for our membership.
Okay. What about I give you a list of who would have had to use it? Now that I can give you a list, if they,
And that's really not, it's not because I want to know that, it's because I want to create the data, data set. It's not that I want to even have anything to do with that, it's a data set.
But that I can fulfill.
Right.
Just everybody that's born, I have no way of fulfilling this, and that's been my problem.
So I would prefer to put language in there that we're still being responsible and we're still... issuing that temporary membership with some type of a data set in place. Is there a way we can do an amendment that would say that and still, you know, if she has that information, be able to use what she has? Don't create a problem for yourself.
Please.
But if you're already collecting the data that's pertinent to that temporary membership, then I don't know, I don't want to just like totally, just like, I'm not making much sense, just like Clint said, his concern is being able to be auditable through that. I think it's really necessary.
We get the death certificates from burial. They send them to us that we can go in and we can, you know, mark the person deceased and the day they died. So the same thing, you know, with an infant, I would get that. Now that I can keep a list of. I have, you know, that would be easy because there's not that many, and you know, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that, you know,
I would put, maybe we could put, the membership office shall maintain an official record of all temporary members who have accessed services from the Osage Nation, something to that effect, and then you do have a data set that would. I think it's necessary. I want to do that amendment.
That works for me.
Okay.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Will you help our fashion something?
Sure. I was thinking along that same line. So.
Okay. All right. Great, Clint. Are you in agreement with being able to track that data set like that?
Well, in my opinion, she's already doing that. But if you want the language in the actual law, I guess we can add that in. But I think her main issue is her being responsible for, you know, for the
for data she can't
For the parents, it's their duty to notify the tribe that they've had a new child. It's impossible for someone up here to know who's born out in the world. We have 20,000 members all over the United States.
Right.
And we don't know who's, or some of those people don't even know. Grandma might say, hey, don't forget, you know, y'all part of, say, you better call up the post. Or, we got a lot of situations like that.
I agree with you. I agree. But I think that we have, we're able to relieve that department of an impossible reporting requirement that's in the law currently, but still have some information for who the temporary members really were needed to access that clause in the law. So,
yeah, we can, with Mr. Patterson, we can get the correct wording on that. But to add that database, whatever you want, how you want to put it.
Sure.
But like I say, just as long as you say that it is not the responsibility of the membership department to, you know,
be the all-knowing unimind.
You know, we can't just go through every newspaper.
Osage procreation.
Go through every newspaper in the United States. Was born. You know, we that's impossible.
Great.
Okay. Now, does that satisfy that?
Satisfies me.
Okay, let's go to this next part, this genealogy part. I talked yesterday with Sophie about this, and I mentioned to you about, number one, it'd be very expensive to add a genealogy thing to our already membership department who's working tirelessly to do the job they're doing now. If you added something onto them, and plus you'd have to have someone who's at least a master's degree in genealogy to even do that. And they would probably need a couple of workers to help them, because it's a huge, huge thing. And I know it's probably a wonderful dream to have something like Ancestry.com that we can have our tribal members get on and just have someone do all the research for them by the push of a button. But I think, you know, whoever is wanting this research done, it would be beneficial to that person to do their own research and then work with us with what we're already doing now.
So do you get, is this a request from a member?
Apparently, now I didn't, because I'm not a lawyer, but they said that the Osage law restricts the functions of the membership office. And then, you know, while we have material related to Osage genealogy in our profession, I mean, in our possession, current law restricts the use of that from conducting research beyond what is necessary to establish membership.
Well, that's what your department's for.
Thank you.
A department to establish membership.
But now, my dilemma, just mine, is they had someone at the cultural center that they had a genealogy thing that you could do it online, request all this, and send it to, I think Harrison Hudgens was the one doing it. Well, he's left. So then they were like, well, where is this going to go? And then they decided it should go to the membership department. Okay, except we're not genealogists. I don't have a staff. It's very time consuming. And because I get questions, they want to know what clan they are. I don't know.
Right.
You know, and where were they born? Don't really know that either.
Right.
Then some, like on a latte, because I can give you a family tree, and it goes back to that 1906 allotte. Sometimes it might be two or three allottees if they're, you know, on there. But that last one you have, then I'll have dealt, well, who was their mother and father? Not in the system, because we only go back to the 1906.
Right.
But sometimes I can go pull that allottee's file out. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, when the BIA was doing all this, they had what they called individual family history. And so sometimes that allottee will have the mother and father's name, usually it's an Osage, you know, it's their Indian name, and their siblings. So sometimes I can, but if not, I spend all my time looking at the 1906 roll, seeing if I can find these people, the 1921 census roll, the 1953 census roll, then I'm pulling, you know, it's very time consuming, and I'm not a genealogist.
Right.
And they want to know where they're buried? I don't know that. I don't, you know. So I'm getting all these requests, and I feel bad because I'm not a genealogist, I can't answer, you know. And I've got some that were adopted. They want to know their biological parents. I can't, you know. That, like the one we had, I was like, I'm sorry. And she got real upset with me, but I'm like, legally, I can't give you that information. And then I get, you know, that my great-great-grandmother was adopted and moved away, but she was Osage, but she'd only known her adopted name. I don't know how to help these people.
Right.
You know? And so that's, and then, you know, they said, if we pass this, then maybe eventually I can get it in my budget to hire a genealogist or put a genealogist on contract. And that's why we're, here.
Let me have a comment here. I think it could be a great thing for the future, but now if we add that and put it in Osage Law now, that means
we're obligated to
do it now,
right now,
and start doing it now.
And right, and your office people will come to your office with that expectation as soon as we put it in the law. And I just really don't feel like they're a genealogy department right now. And I think it's something to put before Congress to see if we want to fund an office for genealogy. Maybe that's what's being requested right now.
I think it does say based on availability of funding and personnel. Perhaps it is a look into the future. I don't know the exact intent, but I think that services she was talking about would fit in with membership, and I think that may be the direction they're going, but it is subject to availability of funding and personnel. So,
well, I always think that that's an element of historic preservation myself. I've always thought that.
I think that was where originally the form was on their website. And then they moved it to the cultural. And then when they lost that, they moved it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said,
to me, membership should not have to be caught up in genealogical dispute or debate, which to me, through that research, they could be pulled into areas that, because they have to make a decision whether the person is a member or not. They don't need to be put in a position about adoption, and I mean, we've experienced that already just in regular role stuff, and yeah. I just don't think that.
I mean, but determining whether they're a member or not is almost a matter of genealogical research.
That's true too.
And that again, you know, that's what we do, because to be, you know, a member, you have to be a lineal descendant from someone from the 1906 role.
Right.
And so we do help a lot of people that come in and say, well, I've heard that my great-great-grandfather may have been Osage, and, you know, we can try to help them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, in the BIA, the burden of proof on being Osage is up to you. You bring your information, we verify it.
Right, if they don't have a name, then
and if
you
they
can't.
Don't have a name, I can't.
Right.
And then sometimes on this person, you know, that they're requesting, I don't know if that's a family member. They don't tell me. Well, it's just like you coming in and saying, I want Congressman Maker's family tree.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can only give it to him.
Right.
You know, so again, I'm looking at this thinking, you're not telling me that this is your great-grandmother, or I don't know, it could be your neighbor, and you want to know.
Well, you know, when you go get death certificates from vital statistics, you have to sign an affidavit that you're somewhere in the family tree. You can't just go get that information on people that aren't related to you, as far as I know.
I don't
know. In the state of Oklahoma, because I've done that before, so.
But with these just blind requests coming in.
Right.
And a lot of times they'll tell me why they want it, or, you know, what they have so far, and if I can help them. But like I said, somebody in this, you know, needs to have a genealogist, somebody that knows Osage history. And you know, we used to use Lou Brock at the museum. He was wonderful, and we could send people to him or to send him requests, and he would.
And did he have access to their so my question is you said somebody in the cultural department used to do that. and you said that Mr. Rock used to do that at the museum. Do they have access to the same genealogical records that you do? How would they do their research?
I don't know how he did it. I really don't. I don't know what they have out there. I know Lou did a lot of research himself. Mm-hmm. Many years he's been there, and his expertise was really pre-1900s, because mm-hmm. he can go back and
he knows how to navigate all
that. Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, someone from Timbuktu calls up to the membership and wants them to research and find out if they're Osage. I mean, that's what we open the door to. Anybody in the world can call up here and demand proof that they're Osage. I mean, that's impossible. I mean, by law, they would have to do that if that's put in this law.
Now, this genealogical research for existing members, we just call it family tree or family history, but that's a push of a button, because everybody links up to their family, to their mom and dad, to their grandparents, great-grandparents, great deal back to somebody on the 1906. And I can just, pull you up, hit family tree, and it's going to print out. So I don't have a problem with that with members.
Right.
It's the ones that aren't members or the members that just want to know more about their families or their clans or their band and where they're buried and when they died and stuff like that I don't have any way.
How many calls do you get a month or a week for people wanting research done on their genealogy?
We get a lot. We get a lot.
So maybe we do need a separate department for genealogy, but I don't think right now we need to keep putting that extra duties task onto our current membership department now, which is, it's just too big. And right now, I don't know if everybody read the memo from Chief Standing Bear, we're a hiring freeze, travel cuts, and a lot of cuts. You don't get that memo in the memo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I don't think we can even plan this, and maybe we can, this would be a good thing for the future. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying it had to be handled in a different way than putting it on our membership.
Well, it says just as Congressman, just as Mr. Hill pointed out, Patterson.
Get it right.
Just as Mr. Patterson pointed out, excuse me, Clint. I'm so sorry.
Clint's fine.
Just as Clint pointed out, it does say. Subject to funding and availability of personnel, but I hate to put my department or your department, any department of the Osage Nation, in the position that we say we're going to offer a service if there's money, and you be the person on the end of the telephone saying, I'm sorry, we don't have funds to do that, so we don't have a genealogist right now. That's just like, I'm not even going to go there, but I think that's a bad situation to put, until we are clear that, does your department need a genealogist more than you need additional staff to do the current workload you have about that you produce right now? I mean, that's a question for me.
We could use a genealogist. There's no doubt about it.
But how about your current work staff? Are you staffed for your current workload that you have?
No. But we've never been fully staffed. I mean, as far as what we're having to do. But we learned to live with that.
I think a genealogist should probably have dual purpose and have some duties in the office too, other than genealogy. But I'd like Congressman Mecker. I think we need to wait on this.
Okay. The only thing I was going to say, if we put that in there now, subject to funding and availability, of course, I don't want to be the one to have to tell them, but if something happens and boom, we have the money for one, mm-hmm. we would have to call you all back, and say, well, we've got to put it in the bill before I can hire this person, even though I have the budget for it, right? Wouldn't I have to do that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think we can just have this a separate genealogy department in its own. myself. You could hook it up with maybe historic preservation or...
See, there are ways to research your family tree, because there's an old roll when the Osage, when we moved out of Kansas. I think that mostly old corpus in there.
I see.
But there are ways to research your family. Other than what we do now, all she has to do is go back and prove that that person for the 1906 roll. And that her baby's ended there with that. Not going all the way back to 1700 when we were in Missouri. Some people, maybe they want to know that. Those old priests and Jesuits, they had their.
Well, I almost partially agree. I agree somewhat that it needs a permanent home. I understand it's been historic preservation to culture, and now there's nobody. And so really the genealogy function needs to reside and live somewhere, because that is part of being a tribal member, is being able to trace your lineage back to your ancestors. But I don't know, I'm going to have to think about it some more and see what I think. Right now, I just don't feel like we need to. I don't know. I want to look into it and see if I really think the law requires that. And the only function I can see would be that it would give that position a permanent place. And if your department does not have the, well, I guess by law it doesn't really have the authority to be genealogist, because you're a membership. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll have to think about it some.
Another thing I'd like to ask, what is the salary of a genealogist? Does anybody know? I mean, if that person would have to have like a master's degree or...
You know, funny, you don't have to have a degree to be a genealogist. I found that out when I was trying to. No, you can be certified, but you have to go to these judges, maybe they're genealogists anyway, and they show them your work and what you've done, and they will certify you. And there's courses at the universities and stuff that you can take, but there's no degree you can get in genealogy, which I thought was a little odd, but you know, that's the way it is. I did put salaries in larger cities, they range anywhere from 60,000 to 71,000. And salaries in smaller cities, they say will range anywhere from, and they list some of the towns, probably from 50 to 60,000. And then they said some will just work for like $25 to $30 an hour, depending on their level of expertise. So it's not outrageous, you know, it's not out of possibility that we could afford to hire one. And I do think there's desperate need for it, because it would help us if we were like, oh, I'm stumped, you're the genealogist, can you help this person?
So you can see it being an asset to your department?
Oh, it would help us tremendously.
Okay.
But because like I said, we used to use Lou all the time, and when Lou left, we were like, oh, what do we do?
Well, might I suggest, and just because I don't know the protocol of how you do, will the HR department help you build a job description and shop the salary out, and before you even have it put approved or put in your budget, will they do that for you? Because sometimes when you look at stuff like that, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. do it. It can be really two completely different things.
They started that a while back, because I was told to create a job for a genealogist, mm-hmm. since they'd lost it at the cultural center, and they were just going to put it in my department. So I contacted HR, and then I was told, no, you're not getting a genealogist, so I kind of let it drop.
Well, since we're asking, and somebody might put this amendment before us, so I would suggest that you ask them to get us a realistic picture of what we're looking at, in case somebody does pick this up and puts it before Congress, the amendment to. I mean, I'm not completely opposed to it, but we are on a hiring freeze right now, and I really hate to amend a law that says we're going to offer a service and then not offer the service. I think that just doesn't make sense. So But it would be interesting to know what our HR department thinks the qualifications and the salary level of that position would be. For me, it would be.
I have a question. Say, in the future, we do have a person, whether they're in a separate department, genealogy, somewhere, or with you, that person, do you have all the records now that a person can sit in the room, the genealogy room or whatever, and do someone's calls from California, can you please help me trace my family tree? I mean, what would that person do? I mean, how would they even begin? You'd have to begin from somewhere. And like I say, some people call, they don't even know anything, just like, well, great grandma said I was part of, say, can you help me appreciate it?
And we get a lot of that.
And that's what I'm saying, that's what.
You know, I tell them, I said, you know, if you can give me your name or give me the date of birth, that to me will narrow it down, you know, because she may have gone by a maiden name, she may have gone by a married name, I don't know that, so a date of birth will help. And I tell people, I said, you know, you've got to have an ancestor that was on the 1906. Well, I think so-and-so was. Well, then I start looking. And no, I'm not finding them. Or I found them. So then I can tell them what they need to do to, you know, become a member, because they're going to have to get birth and death certificates from every generation, because I got to link you up, you know. But in our office, we have the original YT files, we have the 1906 roll, we have the 1921 census roll, and we have the 1953 census roll, and that's about all of the, and we do try ancestry.com, just because we had to.
I'm sorry, that's funny.
No, it is funny because we're all just like, how do you do it? You know, and there's national archives that you can, get into out of Dallas. It has a lot of Osage things in it, but I can't do it because you have to request something from microfilm on a hard copy, but you have to give them a credit card. They won't do it otherwise. Well, our department doesn't have a credit card, so I can't, you know. But if I go down there in person, you can do it for free. But
well, I got a comment about this. I did talk to Chief Stanbear a couple weeks ago about this, and I was like, this is a big deal, you know, I mean, work-wise, you know, a heavy task to put on our members. He's all about it. He's all, yeah, it's going to be great, you know, we can have someone just get online and just push a button and know the family tree or pop up on the screen. I'm like, well, I don't think it's all that simple, you know, but he's all excited about it. I know it could be a great thing. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. I'm just saying, right now, if we put this in, it's going to put all that extra workload on our membership department. We're already under staff now, doing a great job. They're doing a great job. And all the people from all the United States are calling them. And I think it's up to that person to at least do some of the research themselves. You can't just sit at home and call us and expect our staff to do all the research for them and say, well, I'll call. A week later, hey, have you found anything out yet? I'm just saying it's going to open up the door to just people calling from all over the world on our staff to do all the research for them. The way this is worded to me, I mean, it's going to be like we're obligated to do the genealogy for someone if that's in here right now. The way it, am I wrong? Am I looking at this wrong?
That's the BIA and a lot of the other tribes. They, you know, it's like, it's your responsibility to prove to us that you're Indian. You know, the onus is on you. Mm-hmm. You bring your, you know, and we'll verify it. So, in that way, now, and some tribes have their own genealogist, mm-hmm. you know, and whether it's in their research library or cultural center, they have one. Cherokee's Charge, they have a genealogist. They said, and they give you, tell you where you can go to help you, libraries or, you know, anything like that. But they have a genealogist on staff, but the person has to pay them to do the research for them.
That makes sense to me.
You know, so again, that could be an option. You know, that way we don't have to worry about coming up with the money, but we can, I don't know. It's just a thought. That's what the Cherokees do. I just Because I checked into all different tribes to see what they did.
How they handle their genealogy.
And the Chickasaws have a, in Sulphur, they've got, what did they call it? Maybe it's their cultural center, and they have a genealogist on staff there.
Yeah, we went there.
And then the Cherokees have it at their center, but they said they charge for it.
Individuals have to.
Yeah, they'll have to pay. You know, when they're like, okay, I'll pay you this much, you find my ancestors or.
And you know, and I see that too being problematic too. What if you have a waiting list of research to do? Is it, you know, how fair is it going to be for, especially if the tribe pays for it? Is it first come, first serve? Do people get put to the front of the line? I mean, this is tribal stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think that money talks when you're wanting a service done also. So I don't know, I think we need to review it a little bit more. I'm just not really ready to change the law right now, but if we want to, I'd like to kind of go up and talk about agenda item number or whatever it is, the update, the membership update.
Okay, we have to start kind of trying to hurry a little bit.
I will. I just had something.
If you can touch on it real briefly, you can.
I will. I'll be really brief. I've never opened up and looked at our membership. The only membership I've ever looked at is when I've run for office and they give me a copy of the eligible voters. So I can honestly say I've never opened up a CD and looked at it that you sent over here to us. And for our media, I really have enjoyed these meetings. I'm glad we have a membership committee. I think that you bring important things, issues to us. But I've noticed, and I was thinking about this morning on the way up here, that on the update portion of it, I think it would be really great to have a report, maybe not every meeting, but at least quarterly of what are, so the public can hear that cares to listen to this, mm-hmm. or that we can be informed and I can say, hey, Congress members, did you know? But give us a report on what our current membership is, okay. The current enrollment number, the current number of Osages we've lost maybe in a quarter, and kind of a demographic, I think a demographic breakdown would be really good, how many we have like from birth to 18 or, you know, whatever you think makes mm-hmm. sense. I'm not even wanting to dictate what it is, but, and you know, and then maybe working age Osages from 18 or 20 to 65, and then, you know, how many Osages we have. Is your database searchable in that way of ages?
We do. Mm-hmm. For Head Start, mm-hmm. for WELA. I just did one for Paula at Indian House or Mojave Center, mm-hmm. and she wanted to know in Osage County the ages and how many live in Osage County. We've got all these reports.
Right.
So they're easy for us to access. So I have no problem with
that. I would like for you to come to us just with whatever you think would be an interesting breakdown, and at the beginning when you give us a membership update, to have us a report sitting in front of us and we can see something about our membership. You know, I was thinking, you know, this morning I was doing some things with Dad, and Dad's 82 now, so I was thinking, I wonder how many Osages we have over the age of 80, you know, mm-hmm. just because I was thinking about our meetings and our membership right. and stuff. So
that's no problem, because we have it, we run reports for almost every department that uh-huh. needs them for budgeting or for whatever, so.
So I really don't want to dictate that report to you. Maybe if we have questions that we'd like a segment answered about our membership, but I'd just like for you to come to the table next time on the update and okay. kind of give us a report of our membership on that update portion.
Okay.
And let us know, and we'll start kind of, I think, adding some depth to how we view our membership. And I know that the executive uses those reports a lot that you pull for them, but I'd appreciate it in this committee meeting.
Okay.
Is that okay with you, Chair?
No, I think I asked for that before, and I was told, well, you get a CD every month.
Well, we do, but the reality of it the reality of it is I don't go and view the CD, and I wouldn't know how to query the CD mm-hmm. either. I think since you do the work, you might be able to give us a more interesting report at the table.
Yeah. So we want that every month for our meetings now? I mean, like, because I did ask for that, so won't you have, like, new members from last month? I mean, not... you know, a big thick report.
Well, let me ask Ms. Overly, do you ever pull interesting reports that when somebody requests a report, you think, oh, I never did think that it brings out a different aspect of our nation's demographic of people? Or not really?
Not really, because we do every kind of report. Every kind of report.
Okay.
You know, 65 and older. 0 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
0 to 5.
Right.
Nationwide. Mm-hmm. Osage Countywide. Statewide. So, you know, there's not a report, I don't think, that we've not done.
Okay.
So that's easily handled.
Well, why don't you just bring us something different every month, and then maybe just quarterly give us the big basics on the big picture of the total membership. And then
if you all think of something that you would like specifically, send me an email.
How about a color pie chart we're buying?
Well, I don't really want to make it difficult. I think that since you work in those numbers, I'm really not asking for something.
And probably, you know, I can go in because we store a lot of the reports, because we may have to use them again, and we can just update them.
Right.
So there's probably not a report that we have that...
couldn't be just updated.
Couldn't be updated.
All right. Good deal.
So it's not a problem.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's all I wanted to cover on that update portion. Thanks, Ms. Everly.
Yeah, I think it'd be very helpful to us. I mean, I did ask several times about having something like that.
Okay.
But we are a new committee, and, you know, we're just still kind of getting our little...
Well, I think that she brings us really good stuff every meeting that we need to look at and review for our membership. Mm-hmm. So,
may I ask, is this a form of a motion?
Do you want me to make a motion to do that, or will you just...
I can just do it. I mean, you can make
it. I think that Ms. Overly has always acted cooperatively with us. So not that I didn't think you were insinuating she would, but I understand.
We have some of our tribal members here in the audience. Jinx Guerin, would like to, she has her hand
up. My understanding is to get a membership, you have to have a CDID card, right?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. These people that's calling you about their family, if they can't come up with a name, you can trace back that to the natural system, original body. I'm sorry. Can't help. You know.
Yeah.
And it's sad to even do my family, and I have a lot of records that go way back. And I'm lucky. But there's a lot the records are there, where they're at, who knows? I have got some of my records on Chief Baycard in Texas. I've got some in D.C. You know, we're scared. And it's sad that you can't help these people, that they believe that they're an Osage, but you can't help them to determine that. Even the BIA can't. Because they're the ones that scattered our records. And they're still scattered. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, it's cut and dry as far as your position and even this committee. You know, if you can't get a name and go back to that 1906, sorry. Because the first thing you've got to do is go to the BIA and get a CDID before they can come to you.
We have to hurry. We just have a few minutes left. Mr. Patterson's got something to say, then we'll get to you, Myron, real quick if we can. We just got a few minutes left here.
Okay, I think I can be brief. I don't believe the membership law requires you to have a CDIB before you have your membership card.
No, but it's my policy.
But the requirements are exactly the same.
Well, that's my understanding.
Yes, because it's on our website since July of 2015.
You had to have a CDIB, and to me, that's the way it should be. Because if you have a CDIB from there, you're Osage.
Right. And we've kind of gotten burned, and that's why I put that in there in a policy. Because before that, they were making members, and then when I come up, you know, and then I'm looking. And there was some that was like, I don't see it. I don't understand. And the BIA maybe had denied them a CDIB, but we gave them a membership. And
That's why I changed that and just put policy note. Because if they confirm it, then...
And you owe that.
I'm just hoping they do.
If this committee wants to do something to support, to me...
Okay, we have another question from Mr. Red Eagle.
Have you all, when you all first started this, did you, I know my folks years ago, way back in the 60s, they went to DC and they looked at the National Archives in Washington, DC. Have you all ever done any research through DC?
I tried, but you have to have a credit card to get the hard copy. And I can't get a credit card. Our department doesn't want to have one. They do POs and checks and stuff. Well, that doesn't help us, you know. So we're kind of, our hands are tied on that.
Okay, we're going to have to cut it off here. I love this dialogue we're having. We can continue on our next meeting, or we can meet other times too. But I have myself been down to Fort Worth to the archives in Dallas, Fort Worth, mm-hmm. and did some research when I was with the language department on Osage names, because there's a lot of roles around Osage roles other than the 1906 Act. Mm-hmm. And I was researching some of the old full blood names and interpreting them. So they do exist, but right now we're to the end of our time. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I'd like to mention, especially to Mr. Red Eagle and to Ms. Byrne, that Congressman Maker is our chair, and he has set up monthly meetings for our membership department, and we meet the third Thursday
of each month.
So you can depend on that if we want to continue these conversations. We'll be back next month to do this.
Yes. We're the Unless only committee that has a scheduled time
every month.
Month.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not because of a problem child, right?
No, because there's so much to do. It's very important.
Move to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for being
Thank
here.
Thank you, Sarah.
So we just put these changes on hold.
Thank you.